Well, as I've mentioned throughout this month, I've been gearing up and preparing for a new series that we're going to actually be kicking off, I'm hoping, next week, okay? I keep going, okay, you know, there's things in the Lord helping me put this together, and it keeps getting pushed off. But I believe we're going to be kicking it off next week because, as I mentioned before Christmas, God kind of threw me a little curveball right before Christmas as He completely changed the direction of where I thought we were going in 2018. I was already and geared up to dive into the book of John and start this series that would take us through the book of John. And God kind of threw me a curveball, and so we're kind of going in a different direction. And so I had to kind of step back a little bit. I had to kind of regroup, which means the last several weeks we've had a lot of just kind of random messages talking about various topics. But here's the amazing thing to me is that God knew that, all right? A year ago when I thought we were going through John, God knew that we wouldn't be going through John. God knew what would be happening and that He's been in control through it all. I have no idea what's happening. My thing is speaking everything I just spoke. I have no idea what that is. Like, I don't know what I hit, and it just recorded everything I said and said it back to me. And I have no clue, so I apologize. I was like, did you guys hear, was that earlier when I was praying I heard something? And was that, I think... Oh, that was your phone. Okay. No, that's all right. Weird, man. I was just sitting here and I'm like, all of a sudden I start hearing this voice talking to me. I'm like, where is it coming from? Yes, God? You know? I'm like, ready? And I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. I got this watch and I love it. It's great for some things. But the other day I accidentally called 911. I was putting stuff downstairs in the men's bathroom, and it's weird because it does this weird thing. My phone's on silent, but it starts making this weird ringing sound, and I'm like, what is going on? And I pull it out, and it says, dialing emergency, and I get this, hello, 911 operator, how can I help you? I'm like, I don't know how I did this. I accidentally called. I'm so sorry. And they're like, oh, no problem. It's okay. And let me go. I thought I would have to, like, prove that I was okay and all this kind of stuff, you know. For all they know, someone could have had a gun to my head and I'm acting like nothing happened. But anyways, sorry. Where were we here? Let's get back to this morning. Actually, I can go back and look at what I was last said here because it was giving it to me. But, I think I was saying something along the line is God has been in control through it all. Even though I feel like this morning we're out of control, God is in control, and we have to remember that even in the midst of our mess ups, you know, I love the guitar dropping this morning. I love these kind of things because it's, well, man, I am going totally off subject right now, okay? And maybe because somebody needs to hear this. This week I went to this amazing pastor's conversation is what it was called, pastor's conversation. And it was based on shame. And it was really interesting because we had three speakers, and the first speaker completely spoke on out of the shame as a pastor. He had a failure, and his failure was he got addicted to painkillers. He went through all these surgeries, got addicted to painkillers, and was struggling with that, had to kind of step out and walk through this process. And so he was talking about that, just that shame that he felt because of failure, right? Another person had gone through being sexually abused as a child, and this shame that they felt that it really wasn't their fault, but the shame that they had held on to. Well, the third speaker began to talk about shame from this perspective of all these ways we experience shame that we don't even realize or even recognize as shame. Things like just when I look and I see someone do a better job of loving their wife than I do, and I feel shameful because I'm not as good as I should be, or vice versa for the wife, or things where even as pastors we get up here and someone will come up and like, oh, that was good, but I had another pastor that he shared, it was awesome, you should listen to it. And it's like this shame of like, oh, I'm not as good as other pastors, you know? But these areas of shame that sometimes we don't even realize that we're being shamed in and going through. And so sometimes even up here, we drop the guitar and there's this like feeling of shame. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm not very good at this, okay, you know? Or my phone goes off and this like this shame. We don't always recognize it as shame, but like, oh, I'm not as perfect as I thought I was kind of mentality, and how that affects our relationship with the Lord and the reality that that was the first thing that ever happened in God's Word. If you think about it, if you go to Genesis, right, you read a scripture where Adam and Eve, it says they were naked in the garden and they weren't ashamed, right? But then what happens the minute they sin? All of a sudden, they're naked, and all of a sudden they realize it and they begin to cover themselves. And what do? They go and hide from the Lord. They hide from Him. This shame that has come over them. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of sin and fall. Shame is one of the things that the enemy uses more than anything in our life. He uses shame. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you're not this. Oh, you're not that. And He uses this shame to keep us from being who He's called us to be. And we don't even realize it sometimes. This pastor, as he shared, he got up and he kind of shared. He said, I wasn't like any of these pastors or this person. I didn't go through this shaming process. He said, I was a pastor. I served faith. As a matter of fact, he served many years at Salem Alliance Church. And then God took him up into Washington. And when he got up to Washington, it was a place where the church kind of questioned all that he did. And he said he felt very ashamed. And he ended up kind of going down this road where he didn't want to pastor anymore. The shame got so great for him. And it was these things that at first he didn't even realize was shame. And it built up in his life. And he allowed the enemy to use those things. You're not good enough. You're not the pastor that they need. You're not this. You're not that. And how many of us go through that in life? We allow this shame in our life to keep us from being who God's called us to be. When in reality, God said, I took your shame. I took it all. I bore your shame upon the cross. You don't need to walk in that shame anymore. That's what the Lord did for us. And so as a church, I don't want us to be afraid of messing up. I don't want us to be the perfect church, because what that does is that makes you feel like, wow, if I can't be perfect like them, then I'm not good enough. He said an interesting thing. He said, hey, pastors, let me just tell you this. When you're doing little family things, do not put that cute little family, that perfect family up on stage whose kids have it all together, whose kids are perfect, whose kids don't do anything wrong. Don't platform them in front of your church. Because all you're saying to the rest of your congregation, well, if you have issues with your kids, then you have problems. Shame on you. Now, you may not be saying that, but that's what we hear. And we take on this shame of our kids not being as perfect as we think they should be. And maybe that's because we've got people that will tell us that. Oh, dude, you got some kids that are messed up. You've got this, you've got that. But we can't let that shame keep us from continuing to love them and be the parents that God has called us to be. We can't let the shames that the enemy puts upon us. You know, I sometimes have to, I suck my chest in when I'm up here because I have this belly that tends to stick out, right? And I can allow this shame. I can allow the shame of the fact that, man, I just cannot control eating, drinking the Pepsi, eating the goodies and ice cream and all these kind of things, and this shame that we put upon ourselves. And here's the thing. I know that there's a balance, and I don't know. I think I might not even speak my message this morning. We're not even going to be able to get to that. But I think that there's a balance. The problem is we lean to one side or the other, right? There's a balance because there are things in our life where there should be conviction, right? When we're not living the way God has called us to live, we're going to experience conviction in our lives. And that's to push us in the direction of the Lord, to make us to begin to live right. Right? When we do something, you know, if this pastor who was struggling with prescription drugs, there was an initial shame that led him to go to NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and to begin to get help. But then the problem came was when then he was getting his life back together, but everyone was like, shame on you. You can't be a pastor. You can't do these things. Look at your life. Look at the mistakes that you've made. And so there's this balance. There's this balance of the reality that when we make mistakes, that there's this conviction that God leads us to say, this isn't what I've called you to do. This isn't the life I've called you to live. But then there's this other side of the pendulum where we walk in this shame. Man, look what I've done. Look at the mistakes I've made. How could God love me? How could God care about me? Those are the things that can keep us from being who God has called us to be. We allow that shame to keep us, instead of coming to the Lord, instead of running to Him, that we hide, just like Adam and Eve did. God doesn't want us to walk in that shame. You see, when sin entered the world, it became a part of our lives. We cannot live life without sinning at some point along the road. Most of us can't make it through a day without sinning in some way, right? Because it goes beyond. We always just go to the big things. What? I don't sin. I'm good, right? But Jesus said, even if you think of, you know, have anger with malice in your heart towards someone, that's like committing murder, right? If you have lustful thoughts, okay, you didn't go there, you didn't look at anything, but these thoughts went through your head that you started processing. That's like committing adultery. We can't go through life without sinning. But Jesus knows that. And that's why He died on the cross. He came to wipe away that shame, to take away those things that allow us to hide. Those things that cause us to not come before the Lord because we're worried about, man, what is God going to see? How is God going to look at me? I remember growing up in the church, and a lot of times we hear these words, you know, what would God think if He looked at you right now? Right? And we point, it's that shame. Shame on you. What would God say right now? If He found you right now in this place, what you're doing, what would God say? But then I heard a pastor years later say, you know what, in my heart, I don't believe God ever looks at us in shame. Because I believe God looks beyond the sin. And He sees His righteousness. He sees what He did for us in our lives. He looks beyond the shame and He sees who He created you to be. But we live in this world of shame, shamed by others, shamed by our own feelings and our own thoughts. And it keeps us from living the life that God called us to live. And Jesus conquered that. When Jesus came to this earth, if you look at His life, Jesus was shamed time and time again. Aren't you just the carpenter's son? You're hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors? I mean, the religious leaders, all they did was shame Jesus. And then, the cross. I heard an interesting thing that I did not know. So we talk about the fall. We talk about Adam and Eve. We talk about nakedness, right? And that there was no shame, and then there was shame. And you think about one of the most vulnerable things, right, is to be naked. And to be naked in front of people. I remember when I was in SEER school, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. It's a school that I went through as a recon Marine. People that could find themselves in places where they were captured behind enemy lines went to this SEER school. Very tough school where you actually went through surviving, evading, resisting the enemy. And then if you didn't get captured at some point, they rang this bell. You had to come be a part of this prison camp. And you had to be in this prison camp. And they tried to accelerate everything, make things worse than they were because they only had you for like 3 days. And so they developed all these things that you know, I had to be in this cell that was too short for me. And I had to sit a certain way, and the pain, my neck and my rear on the cement floor and the soreness, you know, and they're coming by and all these accelerators. But one of the things, if you got in trouble, if you did something wrong there, they stripped you down naked in front of everybody and they sprayed you with cold water. You talk about humiliating, being in front of people naked, right? I mean, it's one of the most humiliating things. And I say this because I found out that we always see these pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross with this nice little loincloth. But you know what the last lots that they casted for? It was for that cloth. So Jesus, he was hanging upon the cross, crown of thorns, saying, King of Jews, nails through his wrists, sword in his side, naked. You talk about the greatest shame, the greatest vulnerability. And Jesus did that for us. And here's the thing. He died, but he rose again. And when he rose again, he took that shame. He took that shame from us. We don't have to live life in shame. We choose to. We allow ourselves to. But God said, I've taken that from you. You don't need to walk in that shame. And so it's a matter of us trusting in. It goes with what I talked about earlier, believing for and trusting in the reality that Jesus took our shame. We don't have to walk in shame. Yeah, are we perfect? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But we pick ourselves back up, we dust ourselves off, and we get to walk in the glory and righteousness of Jesus Christ instead of the shame of Darren Housler or the shame that our world puts upon us, the shame that unfortunately the church has put upon us. There are many people that don't come to church anymore because they've been shamed. Oh, you did what? Away from me. And God doesn't say, away from me. God says, my arms are wide open. Come as you are. Let me love you. Let me show you what my righteousness can do in and through you. I can take the sins. I can take the shame. And I can wash them all away. That's the Lord. That's what He does in and through our life. And you know, I had a pastor just when I was gone at the retreat a few weeks back ask me, hey, do you ever just like go off script? Do you ever get up there and God say, man, we're going a different direction? And I said, no, I've never done it. I'm always open, and there's maybe a few things I'll interject, but I write my messages out. I'm pretty much trying to hear the Lord ahead of time and process and let God speak through me. But I've never done that. And I said, I guess I would if I have to, but I always fear because I'm one of those that even with my messages, I have them all written out, and I'll be talking about it. I'll be like, wait, where am I going next? What am I doing next? And I have to sit down and look at where I'm going next. And so it's just funny that this just happened. And it's funny because part of it is it's my own fault, because as I was listening to this pastor talk about shame, I thought, ooh, this is good. Should I speak on this week? And part of me, I thought, well, no, I'm going to save it. I'm going to work on it and process through it. And there are some things that God is stirring in me. This whole idea of shame, it rocked mine and Stacy's world. Me and Stacy were both at this pastor's conversation. And it kind of rocked our world because I sat at the table, actually, and I said, you know, as we sit here and talk, many of you know my story. I fell hard in the Marine Corps. I went down paths that I shouldn't have gone down. And I said, the interesting thing is I don't bear that shame anymore. I talk about it a lot. I'm very open with people. I'm very real about, man, I messed up. And I use that to help others that are going down that road or struggling in those areas. And so it's not something. And so I really, when they start talking about shame, I thought, I don't know that there's a lot I'll get out of this because I feel like I don't walk in shame. But then when this pastor began to talk about all these little things that a lot of us don't think of, or don't even realize that we're experiencing that shame. We don't realize the little things. It can even be how our parents talk to us about how we raise our kids. Or how a brother or sister can, you know, have these ideas or thoughts of what you're doing. And we take on this shame like we're not good enough. But God says you are good enough. And I will say, the one thing we were going to talk about today, we were going to talk out of Galatians. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about feeding the Spirit. And this reality of, I've heard it referred to as feeding the dogs. I actually did a series like 5 years ago. I did a whole 10-week series on this idea of feeding the dogs. And it's this idea of you've got this noble breed, this great noble breed that stands tall. And then you've got this mutt, this mangy mutt. And it's this representation of the spirit and the flesh. And who are we feeding? Are we feeding the things of the spirit? Or are we feeding the things of the flesh? Are we seeking the things of God, or are we seeking the things of the world? And I think that wrapping these two things together, this shame, when we walk in this shame and when we begin to live in this way, we continue to feed the things of the world and the things of the flesh. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. But when we begin to stand tall and say, man, yeah, I've messed up, and yes, I'm a sinner. We can't forget that. We are sinners, right? All of us are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. But even though I'm a sinner, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I can walk in His righteousness. And I can begin to live the life that He's called me to live. And as I keep giving to those things, as I keep feeding the Spirit, doing my best to say yes to Jesus when I need to not being shamed, to not allowing these things, the more we feed this, the other is going to starve. And if we continue to feed this, it's going to grow. And eventually the things of the flesh will die away. It doesn't mean we won't sometimes make mistakes. But that's God's desire for life. But the other is true as well. That sometimes we feed the things of the flesh. We let these shames fall upon us. And we let the lies of the enemy get to us. And we begin to just live out the things of the flesh. And we begin to grow in that. And the things of the Spirit begin to starve and die. And it's this reality that we want to continue to seek the Lord. And I'll just read to you the fruit of the Spirit part of this Galatians. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And God's desire is that we would walk in those things, that we would seek to live those things out in our life. And let me just finish with this. Probably a little bit earlier than what I was going to be. I just know my message was long, and after I went down that side road, I figured we weren't going to do that whole thing. But let me finish with this. It's referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. And when you plant a fruit tree, whether let's just say an apple tree, I don't plant an apple seed one day and walk out there the next day and there's this beautiful fruit full of, or beautiful tree full of fruit, right? It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, you sit there and wait. You've ever had your kids plant those little cups, right? And they're just sitting there waiting. When is, you know, and they want to dig down and look at the seed. Wait, what's happening? You know, but you can't mess with it. You got to just trust, right? But you sit there and you start to see it sprout, right? And it takes time to become a tree, and it begins to grow. And it's generally like 3, 4, 5 years. Before you get any fruit, and even that, it's this small tree that just produces a little bit of fruit. It takes time. It takes time to produce this fruit. And it kind of goes back to one of my like most deepest theologies. It's called my What About Bob theology. Okay? It's really deep, right? If you can track with me here. My What About Bob theology, you ever seen that movie? It's an old movie, it's a weird movie, whatever, but funny movie. But he talks about baby steps. You know, he's got these issues where he's afraid of everything, and his psychologist is just like, here, baby steps, right? I mean, you're scared, you're fearful, whatever, baby steps, just baby steps to the elevator. Baby steps out the door, baby steps down the street, you know, it's just baby steps. And it's the same thing for us. If we want to live life in the Spirit, if we want to live with the fruit of the Spirit where it grows in our life, it takes baby steps. It's just saying, God, I've allowed all these things to control my life. I've allowed the lies of the enemy, the things that have people said, I've allowed this shame to control me. And today I'm going to choose to take baby steps close to you, to not allow the shame, to not allow these things to control my life. And here's the thing about baby steps. If you take enough baby steps and you keep taking those baby, eventually they equal a full step. And if you keep doing it, they equal a big step or multiple steps. It's making those movements towards the Lord. Saying, God, I want more of you in my life. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to live the life that you've called me to live. I don't want the enemy to have control. And that's the thing, I didn't realize how powerful of a tool shame was. And this tool that the enemy uses, it's one of his greatest tools to keep us from being the effective Christians that he's called us to be. Because if we feel like we've got to cover up, if we feel like we've got to go hide, then we're not out there doing what God has called us to do. But if we realize that we're not clothed with fig leaves, we're clothed with robes of righteousness that Jesus Christ gave to us, then we can go out there feeling confident in who we are, not because of us, but because of who God has made us to be. And we can begin to live the life that He's called us to live. We can begin to live out the things of the Spirit, to seek the things of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, it's characteristics of God, and the only way that those things can be evident in our life is when we're seeking the Lord, when we're growing in Him and allowing His fruit to come out of our lives, where we're beginning to see that evidence. And so I would just encourage you, take a look. Take a hard look at your life and say, are there areas in my life where I've let shame keep me from being who God's called me to be? When I look at my life, do I see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? And if not, then I need to work on that, because that's who God has called me to be. Let me read a scripture to you. If I can find it here. First Corinthians 13, 1-3. I think I actually have it to go up on the screen this morning. It says this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, that'd be awesome, right? Don't we all want that? If I can have these things but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. We can look all great. We can even operate in the gifts of the Spirit, as Paul says here. But if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then it means nothing. And it comes from the Lord, seeking Him, seeking the things of Him. And I don't know, I hope I tied these things together today. Like I said, this is first time God just took me completely off notes and completely in a different direction. But I think it's important for us to understand the shame factor, to understand how easily we allow ourselves to walk in shame. And we can't. We can't compare ourselves to others. That shames us more than anything. We can't look and go, man, I wish I had what they have. I wish I did this. And allow that shame of who we are to keep us from being who God's called us to be. Because God created each and every one of us. And He's got a plan for each of our lives. And it's not going to look like your neighbor. It's not going to look like the person down the street. It's not going to look like other people's in this room. Because it's a specific calling and plan that He has for your life. And we have to be okay with that. Because if we're doing what God has called us to do, it's the greatest thing that we could ever do. Because we're walking in His will and living His life, not ours. Amen? I hope this was something this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, one, for helping me overcome my fear. Because as this began to roll this morning, I understood that I was going to have to scrap that was here, and all sorts of fear began to well up inside of me. And maybe even shame, Lord, shame of, am I the pastor that I should be? Am I capable of doing this? But I thank You for overcoming those fears, for pushing through those things, Lord. And Lord, that's what You call each of us to do, Lord, to push through the fear, to push through the challenges and the difficulties, and to push through the lies of the enemy so that we can live the life that You've called us to live, so that we can walk in the power of Your Spirit, and that we can see evidence of Your fruit in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank You for this word. And Lord, You know every week I pray that I would decrease so that You might increase. And I pray that today that this was You, that this was You increasing, Lord, speaking through me. And I pray that, Lord, whatever I said today, I pray that it would penetrate the hearts of each of us that are here. That, Lord, we would grab onto those specific things that You want to speak to us, Lord. And that more than anything, we would understand how much You love us. And that we can't be people who walk in shame. We can't be people who allow the enemy's lies to keep us from doing the things that You've called us to do, Lord. And Lord, I just pray right now. I pray that if there is any shame, if there are anything that we have grabbed hold on to that the enemy has spoken or whispered in our ear, Lord, that we would give that to You, Lord Jesus. That we would walk out from behind the bush that we're hiding behind. That we would remove the fig leaves, Lord, and we would put on Your robe of righteousness that allows us to walk in Your glory, in Your goodness, Lord. And so we give You this morning, we give You this word, and we just trust, Lord, we trust in You. We trust in Your hand upon our lives and what You want to do in and through us. And so we thank You for these things. We give them to You, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, be encouraged. And know, man, when God looks at you, all He sees is the amazing, wonderful person that He created. He sees through our sin and our failures, and He sees who He loves. And we can't continue to walk in that shame. In even those areas, that, and some of you may be like me Thursday when I came out of that thing where my mind was just spinning because I was just like, wow, there are so many things that have shamed me that I don't even know have shamed me, that I didn't know I was walking in that shame. I didn't know. And so maybe part of today is just unpacking. What are some of those things that I've allowed to be shame, that I've allowed the enemy to keep me from jumping out, to keep me from stepping forward, to keep me from even taking those baby steps because I've been afraid or I've been hiding because of the shame and the fear that I've been dealing with. And so I pray that today is a day of freedom for you to step out from beyond the shame, from beyond those things that the enemy tries to keep us behind, and begin to live the life that God has called you to live. Amen.